Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world. And we are archived on AWFradio.com. This segment brought to you in part by Kelly and Ferraro, new sponsors here of America's Workforce. You can find them online at Kelly-Ferraro.com. And there's an E in Kelly, Kelley-Ferraro.com. In fact, Matt McMonagle, who is a former Common Pleas judge in Cuyahoga County and is now a partner in that law firm, will be our guest on Thursday of next week. And he'll be joining us on a regular basis here on America's Workforce, talking a lot about asbestos litigation. They do a really good job on that. Free consultations. You can call this number, 216-202-3450. 216-202-3450. Right now, let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars. Always enjoy talking to this guy, Dorsey Hager, on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can find them online at columbusconstruction.org. Mr. Hager, welcome back to the show, and happy November 1st. Can you believe it's the 1st of November already?
November 1st. Yeah, happy Friday, Flash. We're finally in the month of turkey season, I guess, right? Thanksgiving is right around the corner now. So I don't know what happened in Cleveland yesterday, but last night I got to drive home to a little bit of a Halloween snow dusting. So it couldn't wait for November. It had to peek its head in October this year, but we've already had our first snowfall of the year. So we're definitely into it now, and we got the few months here of cold winter before we get back to the nice weather.
Yeah, and then we change the clocks tomorrow too, so you'll really see a change. Yeah, yesterday was crazy. It was 65 degrees in the afternoon, and like 4 hours later, it dropped like 30 degrees. It was like, what the heck happened here? But
Made it tough on the trigger-treaters, huh? The winter coats over the Halloween costumes don't look so authentic.
I know. It was a tough night. But hats off to all those working outside in the trades. I know. Boy, I tell you, you work in the trades. And I think that's the reason a lot of young people today don't want to go into the trades, because they see them working outside in weather when it's snowing. I mean, it's amazing what they do. I know some projects have to halt if the weather's really severe, but nonetheless, there's some brutal elements, especially in the northern climate, and that's maybe why they don't want to get into it. But that being said, there is a carrot at the end of the stick. We're going to celebrate National Apprenticeship Week in, starting on Veterans Day, November 11th. And that entire week, the building trades are going to do everything possible to get people attracted to the trades. Maybe you can talk about how that's been working. I understand they've been doing this for like 5 years now, trying to get people involved, showcase what the trades do, how they do it, and all that kind of stuff. I'll let you pick it up from there, Dorsey.
Yeah, National Apprenticeship Week. We're looking forward to it again. Obviously, every year we use it to really highlight some of our state-of-the-art training centers, some of our apprenticeship programs, our pre-apprenticeship programs, the things that we do to get out to the community to offer the citizens of our community that opportunity to get on that direct path to the middle class. It's amazing how many people in the community still don't totally understand what we do. You know, I was at an outreach event a couple weeks ago, and there was somebody in the community that came up to me and said, so my son or daughter can come to you. You're gonna train them for free, tuition free. You're gonna train them.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna do a 4 or 5 year apprenticeship program. They're gonna get paid while they're taking the training. Then when they graduate, they're gonna have all these college credit. Plus, they're gonna have a lucrative career that's gonna pay them $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year, plus a full benefit package. And I'm like, yeah. And they were like, holy crap, this is incredible. How long has this been around? And it's like, a minute or two, I guess. So National Apprenticeship Week, that's when we really, really focus, do some kind of special things to really highlight our apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship programs. The big event that we're doing collectively is the Columbus Building Trades on Wednesday, November 13th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the New Salem Baptist Church here in Columbus. We're having a huge outreach event in conjunction with Mayor Andrew Ginther and also the City of Columbus. So It's our second outreach event dealing with our community benefit agreement with the Linden Rec Center. The first one was in October. We had tremendous participation. Everybody enjoyed it. And our second one is going to be highlighted on National Apprenticeship Week. So I know that all our training directors, a lot of our managers and agents and our local unions are really looking forward to it. And I'll tell you another thing that's kind of interesting. This just came up yesterday. You know, we're starting to – not starting. We've had incredible partnerships with our contractors and our contractor associations. And you're starting to see a lot of our contractor and contractor associations participate in these events too, because they want to be on the front line talking to these kids and these adults and these young adults, or even maybe these older adults who are under employed, and they want to get out and help us, you know, push the ball down the field as well and kind of do this outreach. So we're getting a lot more contract participation, which is really cool, because when you have people from outside the community and they talk to somebody from a union or from an apprenticeship program, you know, like I said, the story I told earlier where the person was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. How long has this been around? Sometimes it's unbelievable. But then when you have the employer or the contractor association right there with them, and then yes, this is what we do. It's, you know, one of the greatest workforce development models on the planet. You know, it really lends a lot of credibility to what we're all trying to accomplish.
What about the IRAPs? And you and I have had conversation on this over the summer, and this is the push, I guess, by some in the Labor Department and the Trump administration to kind of go on the cheap here and come up with a different plan. And from what I understand, the trades were left out of that. What's new on that situation right now, Dorsey?
So the update, I was in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago. Our leaders conference for the national building trades unions, and Sean McGarvey and Brent Booker spoke, you know, on the IRAPs and gave an update, very extensive, did a great job. It was an incredible conference. But from what I've taken out of that is Sean was incredibly pleased. We all were actually that we'd had over 250,000 responses to the federal government speaking out against IRAPs and in favor of our apprenticeship programs and leaving them the way that they are. Everybody at the federal government and Department of Labor was totally overwhelmed. Sean was hopeful that they would extend the period of comments, mm-hmm. comment period, which they have done historically in the past when they received so many. They did not. They stopped it when they said they were going to stop, but they still had over 250,000 comments. And it's like Sean said, another week and a half, we were just really getting started. We would have probably had 475,000 comments there. So I think that they've gotten the message. I think that they understand how important our programs are and everything that we do. You know, it's just now it's up to the committee and it's up to the people there. It's federal government. It's probably up to the new labor secretary on what they decide to do on these IRAPs and how much it's pushed by the president. Of course, you know, with yesterday's impeachment inquiry vote going on, some of the stuff that's happening in Syria, I'm sure that the White House has a lot on their plate, so I don't know how much this will you know, how quick this will move or how much it'll go, but that's where we're at right now. We're kind of in a holding pattern. Our members, our contractors, our family members, our union leaders, I think we did our part. We got our, you know, our comments in like we were supposed to, and every international union did an incredible job getting out to their membership and getting them to get involved, which just was an awesome undertaking. One of the best things that I've been involved with in my career as a union leader. And now we're just kind of in a wait and see mode, I guess.
Yeah, the original plan, I believe, was the trades were left out of this. They wanted to come out with some kind of standard for apprenticeship programs other than the building trades. And my response to that, and I think you mentioned this on one of the past shows, was maybe they should use what the trades are doing as a model for everybody else. Bring them up to the trade standards. What do you think about that?
Exactly. And I mean, IRAP is exactly what it stands for, Industry Recognized Apprenticeship Program. And if it's industry recognized, then it's going to be recognized by the employer. And we all know that when employers, you know, not all of them, because there are some very great reputable employers out there, but when you have some, you know, I think you mentioned to me off the air, you're going to have somebody speaking about the accident that happened in New Orleans at the Hard Rock Casino.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of employer greed. You know, hiring the cheapest, most uneducated, most unskilled and unsafe workforce that they can to try to make as much money as they can. And then the resulting factor is a project that's delayed. And also, tragically, three people have died on a work site where today construction workers just don't die on work sites because we're so safe, so well educated. But then, you know, when you have a contractor that's going to hire somebody like that, these accidents happen and these things happen. So that's our fear, that if we go to industry recognized apprenticeship programs where employers can oversee their own programs and there's no, very little to no regulation by the state, then this could be a bad thing, you know. And it's also a backhanded way to undercut, you know, prevailing wage, because it takes a lot of the checks and balances out of it too, and the Davis-Bacon, and that's our other fear as well. So, you know, like you said, we've got one of the greatest workforce development models out there. Our people are educated, they're skilled, they're well trained, they work safely and efficiently, and that's the way we want to keep it.
Yeah, safety is number one when it comes to union contracting. That contractor was definitely non-union. It was Citadel. That was the name of the company. And I was reading some of the issues that they were concerned about. What the unions were concerned about was the use of non-licensed workers, hiring undocumented workers, misclassifying employees as independent contractors. It was a mess. It really was a mess. And as you pointed out, three people died. So what bothers me on that, Dorsey, is when especially when people die on that, why can't these businesses be run out of business? I guess that's a tedious process, but I'm sure you've got something to say about that. Isn't there times when a contractor is so bad that in many cases they do file bankruptcy because of conditions and lawsuits and all that stuff? But what about the process of driving them out of business because of that?
I know, and I think, again, it goes back to greed. I think some people are just so enamored with that low dollar and the almighty dollar that I think that's one of the, you know, and don't get me started on here that the other comparison that I use and I've spoken about for years is the immigration reform. You know, both parties could take one step in immigration reform right now that would stop a lot of this illegal immigration, and that would be to go after the employers who hire the undocumented worker, whether it's an illegal or whether it's 1099, somebody or misclassifying, but they won't do that because neither party wants to be accused of being anti-business, right?
Right.
And I think that's the problem that we have. I mean, I talk to general contractors and construction managers here in the Central Ohio market daily, and they'll be on a job site and they'll say, hey, you know, subcontractor ABC really, you know, hosed me on this job. You know, some of the people didn't get the work done on time and this and that. And I'm like, well, I hope you remember that the next time the project comes around. They're like, oh, I will. And then that next project comes around and they give a sub award to, you know, contractor ABC again. And it's like, hey, what happened to our conversation about this job over here? Yeah, I know, but I got to give them another shot. I mean, they were just so much cheaper. They were just so much cheaper. Maybe they'll have this one figured out. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy.
It's crazy and it's sad at the same time because, again, you're dealing with worker safety on these projects. And that takes a back seat, especially with the non-union guys. All right, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, and we'll get into more, I want to talk about this labor award, and we'll talk about Election Day, which is next Tuesday, and obviously getting ready for next year. Dorsey Hager on our live line. As we mentioned, we're going to talk more about the Hard Rock collapse. Terry Gerstein, she is Director of State and Local Enforcement out of Harvard. It's a special project she's involved in, and she's going to address the issues in the construction industry, like what happened at the Hard Rock Hotel. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
For over 20 years, Organized Labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for communications and events needs, because BMA knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to help unions capture market share, conduct marketing campaigns, partake in political education, promote labor management, organize membership development, and support issues such as prevailing wage, project labor agreements, responsible contracting, and workforce training. They also plan and produce special events such as conventions, conferences, and anniversary celebrations. The BMA Media Group, marketing union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit bmamedia.com. That's www.bmamedia.com for all the labor tools you need to move your union into the future.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce Broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world. Don't forget we archive everything on awfradio.com and we stream live Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. And that is newstalkcleveland.com. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Dorsey Hager on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades Council. All right, what's this labor award? Grove City passed a labor award, I understand. What's that all about, Dorsey?
Yeah, so Grove City is one of our suburbs, and it's one of our suburbs that's, you know, controlled by a lot of Republicans. Ike Stage is the mayor of Grove City. He's a Republican. We actually have a very good working relationship, though. We sat together on the convention center board. Ted Berry is on city council down there, and Ted Berry and I have a great relationship. And Ted Berry is somebody that ran for countywide office a couple years ago. Didn't get elected, but he's somebody that I met, started to build a relationship with, and he really is a really great city council person down there in Grove City. He cares about the people, the constituents, the residents. And as he was meeting with us when he was running for county office a few years ago, and he was touring our training centers and learning about our apprenticeships, he was just amazed at all we have to offer. And, of course, one of the things that came out of our conversation was he couldn't believe that more young people were not taking advantage of the opportunity. So then we started talking about some barriers, you know, that we help remove with our pre-apprenticeship programs and some of our wraparound services, and then also some of the mentoring that we do in our apprenticeship programs as well. And, you know, we started talking about transportation issues. We started talking about, you know, child care issues, you know, stuff like that. So Ted came up with a piece of legislation that really – somewhat innovative, where they've came up, they've budgeted some money, Grove City Council, and they've came up with basically a labor award. So if a young person in their community is accepted into a recognized apprenticeship program, and maybe they have an issue with transportation or their car, or maybe they need a little extra money to purchase some tools or something, you know, because it's tough when you first get started, they're going to do a labor award for that person and award them, you know, anywhere from $700 up to $2,100 to help keep them on track to get through their apprenticeship if something were to happen. So I know Ted was really excited to do this. It was a great benefit. We hope that maybe it's something that other communities will copy and pick up on as well. You know, and Ted talked to me about this once he was writing it. And, you know, obviously he knew a lot of our apprenticeship programs, and I explained it too, about tuition and stuff. But we talked about how the labor award, like I said, could be used to help with maybe transportation issues, maybe helping with tools, stuff like that. Because really, in our apprenticeship programs, everything's tuition free. So there's not really a tremendous cost to the apprentice, but there is some things, you know, to get you started and get you going forward in the trade. And this will really help serve some of the underserved community there in Grove City that's looking to help themselves and advance themselves.
Very good. Very good. Okay, one more here. Election next Tuesday. What's the situation down in Columbus over there when it comes to the muni elections?
Wow, it's incredible. Of course, our mayor is unopposed, so that's great. Big advocate of apprenticeships and pre-apprenticeships and community benefit agreements, Mayor Andrew Ginther. This will be his second term. He's running unopposed. Very proud of him, so it's good. And he's kind of carrying the mantle for the rest of the ticket, which we're all been very appreciative of because we have an incredible team of city council leaders. Liz Brown, the daughter of the senior senator, Sherrod Brown. We have Emmanuel Remy. We have Shayla Favorite. And, of course, we have our guy, our IBEW member, and ACT Ohio attorney Rob Dorns, and together they've all been working their butts off. And a lot of our guys have been out trying to help with phone banking and door knocking and also, you know, raising money for the team and stuff. And we'll find out, you know, on Tuesday. Election day is Tuesday, so we want to help get all four of them across the finish line. And I know that, like I said, they're all working really hard. And then, you know, you and I always talk about this on your show, and we talk about elections. We talk about how important the judicial races are, and there are some hugely important judicial races. Of course, Jody Thomas who's one of our endorsed candidates, is up for re-election again. She's working on the drug court, helping to get people, you know, off of substance abuse and have those issues taken care of, and then getting them into the employment workforce. She's gotten some of her graduates into our programs, apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship programs, to totally change their lives, which has been great. She's up on the ballot again. Bill Spirlaza, a good friend of mine, is running for environmental court. He's currently an attorney in Zach Klein's office, the city attorney's office. So that'll be an interesting race. And then Jessica DeVarga, somebody who's been an attorney here for a while, she's running as well for municipal court. So there's some really, really important judicial races. There's some important city council races. So Tuesday night's going to be an interesting night.
I would imagine, too, when that comes and goes, and obviously that's going to be pretty quick in a couple of days here, you're going to get geared up for next year then?
It's already started. And, of course, with the primary date being moved up next year to March 17th, it's amazing. We're going to have a lot of judicial races here next year. Of course, all the state house races will be on the ballot. I think we're going to have 4 state senate races in our area next year, so... Yeah, it's already started. The people are out, you know, starting to talk and position themselves and getting their campaigns ready and their committees ready to start raising money, because I think as soon as after next Tuesday, I think we'll start heading right into 2020. And, of course, you know, highlighted at the top with the presidential election. So I know everybody will be focused on that.
And we have a primary on March 17th, St. Patty's Day. What's your thoughts on that? Now, originally it was March 10th. I know that. And they usually do this in presidential years. The primary is normally in May.
Yeah.
And now on presidential years, they move it to March, and it's usually like the second Tuesday in March, but they decided to go with St. Patty's Day. Any thoughts on that? And it was as far as why they did that?
Yeah, I don't know how they... I have no idea. I don't know why they did that. And I have a lot of friends that are Irish, and I really haven't touched base with them about it, but I'm wondering how they feel about it. I mean, you know, Election Day is a special day anyway, and I know to a lot of people St. Patrick's Day is a special day. Even people that aren't Irish seem to be very Irish on that day. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the reason is, but, you know, it is. It's going to be an important primary next year. It's going to be an important primary here in Central Ohio, you know, not just the presidential, but also we have somebody challenging, you know, one of our Congress ladies, Joyce Beatty, who we support tremendously and does great advocacy work and is always outspoken about the building trades, and she's got a primary opponent next year and knows you don't take lightly. So it's going to be an important primary next year. I don't know why they moved up to March 17th.
So. I don't know.
I don't know.
I can't figure out this legislature. Sometimes I just wonder about them. But anyway, that's the way it is. All right, we're going to leave it on that note. Hopefully we'll have a Browns win in Denver on Sunday. We need it badly, Dorsey. You know that.
We do need it, but if we can string together 3 or 4 quarters of mistake-free football, no turnovers, no, and I know that sounds simple, but for this team, it hasn't been as simple this year. We've been in every game outside of the San Francisco game, where we just got blitzkrieged by a very good team that went to 9-0 last night. But this team has so much talent. It's amazing how well we move the football. It's amazing how good our defense is. If we can just play some mistake-free football, I think we can get on a little run here and build some confidence. So hopefully when we talk next month, we're talking about a string of 3 or 4 wins in a row here together, because the schedule sets up nicely, and obviously we can do it.
You got it. Okay, we'll leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can find more online at columbusconstruction.org. You take care. We'll talk next month, okay?
You too. Thanks a lot, Flash. Have a good one.
All right.